Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What I have here is a photograph, and it's labeled 23-12. And just for the camera, it's a photograph of an entrepreneurial magazine. And it was found at the scene, and it's something that kind of caught our attention from the standpoint that there's writing on this. And take a look at that.
That's weird.
What did you say that, John?
Well, it's got red ink, it's got no, no, no written on three faces, one of whom was the guy from Corporate Express, I think, the other two, I don't know. What does it say, heart, two hearts, or?
What you have just heard is part of a police interview conducted by JonBenet's father, John Ramsey, and lead detective, Lou Smith, in the late 90s. They were discussing a defaced photograph of John, found after JonBenet's murder. A photograph in which he was accepting a Boulder, Colorado Entrepreneur of Distinction Award. Could his daughter's killer have been motivated by a business grudge?
Where was this found?
It was found in the house. I'm not sure of the exact location. It's a piece of evidence that was taken that morning.
No,
have you ever seen that before?
No, absolutely not.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Did you say it was found in the house?
Rather than Ramsey's house? In the Ramsey's house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What do you see on that picture, John? Have you ever seen that article before?
No. I don't think I ever have.
Can you describe the writing on it?
It looks...
I can get a bigger blown-up copy of that.
It's weird. It's just weird.
It's in a folder of some kind.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this was a very nice event and a nice award, but it wasn't a big deal for me.
Okay.
And I don't even know if we saved any of the stuff. It was a nice thing, but it wasn't. But that's bizarre.
I don't want to take it away from you.
No, then. It just shows a heart.
And I can't quite figure out what that is across the face.
You should, I think, be able to identify if anyone knows it's your picture.
Well, I think that's my picture, but I can't.
But it's written on your picture, is that correct?
Well, I mean, yeah, it looks like it's my picture.
This is John Ramsey.
Well, I subscribe to John Douglas's theory, and John Douglas is the fellow that set up the FBI crime profiling program and is probably the world's expert in that field. He looked at our case and came back and said, this was not about JonBenet. This was against you, John. Somebody that's either really angry at you or jealous of you and wanted to hurt you.
Welcome to Episode 6 of The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects. I'm your host, Danielle Robay. We have put together a new team of investigators, led by seasoned reporter Doug Longini and JonBenet expert Jameson, to track down a list of 10 suspects left by Detective Smith before he died, and possibly, finally, solve a murder that has baffled the world since 1996. In this episode, we're on the trail of two men, both with professional grudges against John Ramsey.
I can't imagine I've made anybody that angry. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he said, well, you may not even know them. They may just be observing you from afar. We were in the paper that a couple of weeks before Christmas, our company's name was achieving a sales goal that we were proud of. And, you know, they had my, I don't know if they had my picture, but they had my name certainly. And, you know, so it was sobering for me to think that this was because of something I had done or said or how I treated someone. But he said, you may not even know him. You know, the competitor that business didn't survive because we did well, that's possible. I don't know who that would have been.
JonBenet was found dead in the cellar of the Ramsey home on the day after Christmas, 1996. Initially, John and Patsy Ramsey believed their daughter had been kidnapped after Patsy woke to find a long ransom note on the staircase. The note had a very specific demand for money. Here's Doug Longini.
You know, Jameson, the ransom note says, quote, you will withdraw $118,000 from your account. Then it goes on to describe the what types of bills the $118,000 is. But $118,000 is a pretty odd number. And as I understand it, John Ramsey, during 1996, earlier in 1996, had gotten roughly that amount as a bonus for his work at Access Graphics or through Lockheed. That had to seem pretty suspicious to the police.
I really don't understand why, because if I had just had a party and advertised to the world and had news stories saying my business had passed $1 billion in sales that year, if people in my community knew I was rich, and he was, he had over $7 million, I would not pick a silly amount like $118,000 for a ransom. I would want to tell the world my daughter's worth a million or two. I thought that the amount being $118,000 made it look like a bogus ransom note. And as far as that amount is concerned, to begin with, we don't know for sure that that's where the $118,000 comes from. Maybe it's a guy's house number or his electric bill that month. We don't know for sure what it was. But John Ramsey got a bonus in February, I believe, of 1996. $118,117.50. It was listed on every pay stub from February up until the time of the murder. And John Ramsey, their house was kind of cluttered. Anybody who wanted to play creepy crawly in that house and go looking around for information on the Ramseys could have found it. I think most people would look at that amount for a bonus as being almost insulting when people are struggling to get by. And he gets a bonus of that. And I think our person saw that and was angered by it. And when he wrote this bogus note, because he had to waste time before they got home and settled in, I think that when he picked the ransom amount, it was a stab at John Ramsey, as in, John Ramsey, you could not even save your daughter's life for the cost of your bonus. I think it was a slap in the face. Never truly intended to be a ransom, but a slap in the face.
I love solving puzzles. That's what true crime is to me, after all, just one big puzzle. When I want to take a break from the dark stuff, though, I like to lighten up my puzzle time with Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game where every level feels like uncovering a new layer in a story, one you get to take part in. I love that the game is challenging while not being frustrating. The best part for me is when I have to choose the fiends I want on my team for each level. I have to make sure I'm playing the best fiends possible based on their skill sets, and since every level is different, it requires me to choose wisely for every challenge. The more I play, the more fun it gets. Plus, you don't need the internet to play, so anytime I want a little entertainment, Best Fiends is my go-to. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play online. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Hey, Hi, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Perhaps the $118,000 demanded in the note was just an arbitrary number. Perhaps it was just picked from a pay stub left lying around the house. Or perhaps it really was a deliberately chosen slap in the face for John Ramsey from someone with a business grievance against him or his computer services company, Access Graphics. This is another interview with John shortly after the murder.
Okay. The other thing that I wanted to follow up a little bit on was you said in looking back on it, the article on Access Graphics was a mistake. But that at the time you had some apprehension about it. What was your apprehension at the time?
This was a gut feeling that wasn't a good idea. But
in what sense?
I didn't want that notoriety or that visibility.
Which?
Well, that we were a billion-dollar company.
Why didn't you want that as a company?
I didn't want that attention, Okay. Basically. And I just had this gut pang in my stomach that said to me, don't do it.
What's wrong with attention when you're in a business?
If it doesn't buy anything, why do it? These aren't our customers locally. We had maybe one or two customers locally. Publicity is useful when it's to your audience. I'm not particularly boastful. I don't like that kind of person that want to be that kind of person. And I felt it was being, I guess, probably boastful.
Was it for you personally you didn't like the attention, or for your family?
Nothing in particular, but I just was starting, we were starting to be more visible. And every time we let somebody go, we'd get sued. I mean, it was just, you were becoming a bigger target for whoever wanted to take a shot at you.
On Lou Smith's final list of 10 suspects, there are two names that stand out as having business-related grudges against John Ramsey. One of those people is a man whose own computer software company had gone under due to the competition from Access Graphics. He also had some very disturbing accusations made against him in the years following JonBenet's murder. Doug Longini and Jameson sat down with John Ramsey and Detective Smith's case file to discuss his possible motives. Unfortunately, one of the suspects discussed has never been publicly named in the JonBenet murder case, and for legal reasons, we have had to remove his name from the episode.
One of the guys that is a guy named says here, and I'll just read it. I had a known grudge against the Ramseys due to being put out of business by John Ramsey.
Okay. He had been working for a software company, maybe even owned it. And when your business came into town, he lost. That would be the motive. I could not see in Lou's files that anything had been done as far as handwriting, fingerprints, or anything like that. I think we need to explain that Lou's spreadsheet has the names, and then it has piles, rows for alibi and it,
what had been done, what hasn't been done. Yeah,
nothing was done on this man. Mm. That's the reason why he's on my list, because he just looks like a person that had the capability.
You know, he had a background, and then he was a quote competitor.
At the very least, we need to try and talk to the suspect who appeared on Lou Smith's original possible suspect list. Montero has a lead on his whereabouts and tries to call him. We've disguised the voice in the call for legal reasons.
Yes, why in the world do you want to talk to me?
We're working on a story on JonBenet Ramsey.
How in the world did you come up with my name and JonBenet Ramsey?
Well, we are working with a bunch of investigators, and at one point they were looking at you for having possibly being involved with that case.
I didn't even live in that community at that time.
Okay. Well, what happens is sometimes when there's a high-profile crime, you get a lot of people that start calling in tips, and they start turning people in, and I guess at some point someone had called up and accused you of molesting a kid, so that's how your name came up on the radar screen with these cops and these investigators.
So what do you want to talk to me about?
Well, in situations like this, you always got to go straight to the horse's mouth. So I figured, you know what, I'd call you up and I'll talk to you and see what's going on. I mean, have you ever been accused of molesting somebody?
I'm not going to answer that question. I don't think that is a relevant deal.
Well, look, you got to figure out as to why your name pops up on investigators' files for the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Yeah, my ex-wife, as part of my divorce, accused me of molesting my children. And that is not the case. Every agency that looked into it exonerated me, including the courts. So social services looked into it, and my children lived with me, and it subsequently came out that they were both coached as to what to say. They remember being coached by their mother. So it's all a bunch of her freaking lies, and my daughters confirmed that. So
okay,
I got nothing to hide.
All right, and then everything went through the county court, and there's papers there indicating that it's these were false allegations, correct?
Yeah.
In the years before JonBenet was murdered, John, as CEO and president of Access Graphics, fired one of his employees named Sandra Henderson after a financial scandal. Here's former Boulder resident Michael Kish, who was friendly with Sandra Henderson's ex-husband, Bud.
Sandra, who was a heavy-duty major league petty embezzler, was a suspect in her boyfriend. And then apparently she fingered her former husband, Bud. And Bud I knew pretty well. I knew both of them through a conservation charitable group in town. And she had taken money from that group as well. I was on the board of that group when she had embezzled from it. And
she might have went to jail at one point.
Oh, that was after I knew her. Eventually she got caught where she went to jail.
Here's reporter Andy Tillett.
So Sandra was operations manager of Henderson Tech, which was ordering equipment from Access Graphics. She was in charge of paying the bills and keeping the books, basically. And then in 1991, Access suddenly placed a credit hold on Henderson Technology after they had discovered they were owed $145,000 in unpaid invoices.
But Henderson claimed to have been completely ignorant of the unpaid money. And when he was shown a promissory note with his signature on it, he said that wife Sandra, must have forged his signature.
So this is where it gets a bit financially technical. But in brief, the Hendersons owed Access Graphics $145,000. Bud Henderson says that Sandra agreed to pay off the debt, but then defaulted after a single payment, after it was discovered that she had tried to alter the Henderson Tech account at Access Graphics to delete the outstanding balance. John Ramsey fired her. Access recovered $100,000 from the company that bonded them, and the balance of $40,000 was supposed to be paid by Bud and Sandra Henderson. They only paid $4,000, and then in 1995, they divorced, and the remaining $36,000 was split between them, $18,000 each. The whole thing was very messy, but in a nutshell, I think Sandra, despite being very clearly in the wrong, felt that John Ramsey had in some way ruined her life.
Our team put that question to John Ramsey.
Well, one of the, I'm told, important things to look for is a motive in any killing. And this one person worked for my company, was caught embezzling a fair amount of money. And we terminated her. She eventually, my understanding was, went on to another company, did the same thing, and then was put in prison. So we thought, well, there's a motive for a relative, a husband, you know, angry at whomever got her put in prison. And so there was some interest in siblings. One sibling left town fairly quickly after the murder, went to France, and stayed in a monastery for 2 years. Now, that's pretty bizarre. Coincidental? Yeah, maybe. But circumstantially, it ought to raise some red flags, which it did for us.
Next time, on the killing of JonBenet, the final suspects.
So I started looking around when the ransom note came out. I started picking up little pieces of paper that had his writing on there, and I started to put a little book together. And you know, I convinced myself that he wrote the ransom note. So that freaked me out. I sent off some letters to other people to see if they could analyze the handwriting for free. But you know, that kind of backfired on me, and they thought like, oh, maybe I was the killer. They looked at my handwriting and said, he could have written the ransom note.
The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, is hosted by me, Danielle Robay. Executive produced by Dylan Howard and Matt Sprouse, and is a production of Broad and Water Studios and Endeavor Audio. Executive producers also include Tom Freestone, Doug Longini, Susan Bennett, James Robertson, and Andy Tillett. The series is written by Dominic Utten, reporting by Doug Montero. The series is mixed and engineered by Sean Kravitz and Sam Ada. There is so much more to this story, and you don't want to miss anything, I can assure you. Subscribe to The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, wherever you get podcasts. If you have information that could help our investigators and the Ramseys identify JonBenet's killer, please email us at tips@justiceforjonbenet.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.